Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Sasha Matvienko of Growth 360. For the past 10 years, Sasha's been helping businesses generate revenue online, working with a range of clients from startups and small local businesses to Fortune 100 brands. Today, we're going to be discussing Sasha's journey of entrepreneurship and how he's grown Growth 360. So thank you so much for joining us today, Sasha.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Perfect. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So to start, what really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So for myself, being an entrepreneur, I really like that there's no limits. Like you can do as good as you can or as bad as you can. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that part and the possibility of, you know, making $10 million this year, $20 million this year, or maybe a $50,000, right? So it's always an option.
Yeah, the possibilities really are, you're the only one to really hold you back. So the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, absolutely. Sky is the limit.
Definitely. So tell us, how did you get into digital marketing to start?
So let me start from afar. So for myself, growing up in Ukraine, I found it very simple, but inside that actually kind of made myself an entrepreneur and got me into the marketing in general. So starting in high school, we had elections. And so you can become a president of a high school and you can have your little government and you can, you know, decide certain things about how this guy high school lives. Mm-hmm. And so for myself, I wanted to become a president. I don't know why, but at some point I just decided that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I started analyzing and simplifying in my head, what do others do to get there? And I realized that it seemed to me that people who won the elections were the people who were known and people who made themselves known to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so from there, I was like, okay, so how can I make it happen? Well, I can put my face on, you know, everywhere around the school. I can go and talk to people. I can get myself known that way, right? And so this way, if we're talking about a couple of hundred votes that we needed, then probably I can make this happen because people get to know me better. And, you know, when they're asked to choose between someone they know and someone they don't know, they will probably vote for someone they know. And so we won that election. And that got me into the whole situation of now I needed to decide if I wanted to, what I wanted to study in a university. And this is how I found out that, you know, marketing, that's what it was called. And so I got into the marketing. And then later on, in around 2011, coming to Canada, I realized that the attention was digital. And so I worked for a couple of years for a small shop, which was far in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, we were able to achieve a certain success with blogging and advertising. I was like, wow, this really works. I really like it. It's, you know, it's simple. There's a lot of logics in it. And so I wanted to do that. And so I, this is how I joined my first advertising agency, which was a online advertising agency. And so sort of things went from there into the whole web development and SEO and all of that.
Okay, very
cool.
So
that's my story.
Love it. And then, so what was the deciding factor that you were going to start your own agency and go out on a limb and start Growth 360?
Yeah. Well, essentially working for other shops, I realized how little of it actually worked for the clients. And so from my perspective, I didn't want to do necessarily what everybody else did. but I wanted to try and do something again based on some insight or observation that I had about life. And so we tried and launch an agency that would be transparent to the clients, right? We try to be, because agencies, they tend to have that bad reputation. Like anyone you ask, or you know, many of the prospects that we get on the phone with, they're like, well, how often are you gonna answer my phone, answer the phone? I'm like, well, it doesn't, like, what do you mean? Right? I'm gonna answer when you call. Yeah. And so I guess there's a lot of people who had that bad experience. And so we try to bring some refreshing pace to it and be the transparent agency, be an agency that is sort of an extension of the client's team. It's almost like having, you know, those five employees and not actually paying for five.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're really invested in their success and you really sort of look at yourself as almost like a partner of their company type thing.
Well, that so we essentially, the things that I mentioned, we wrote them in our values. So this is not something that we just try and kind of, you know, be nice to the clients. It's basically something that we built our process around.
Interesting. And so,
and it's reflected in how we approach marketing in general, in it's reflected in who we think are the right clients for us, and who we think we're the good fit as an agency for, right? And sort of trying to create that win-win scenario. Mm-hmm. And in the process of doing that, we're trying to also be transparent. And there's also like a number of deliverables that we do in order to deliver on that value.
Very interesting. So in those early days, what was the biggest challenge that you had to overcome and how did you overcome that?
Well, I think starting anything new in life, it's always a journey.
Yes.
And so for myself, probably the biggest challenge was to get out there and actually start doing it. Because when I started an agency, I already had experience. So I knew what to do. I knew how to do it. I didn't really have as much of a learning curve on that front. Mm-hmm. But then in terms of actually starting a business, it has been quite a learning curve. And so for myself, I'd say I spend a lot of time kind of thinking how to do things as opposed to doing it. And and that was the biggest challenge. And it was the biggest learning too, is until you get out there and you learn something and you try it, like you won't find your best way. And if you don't have, like, you know what I mean? Everybody has their own best way, but then to find your own, you got to do the homework, but then you got to get out there and try it. So don't spend too much time doing the homework. Just get out there and try it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true. And yeah, another thing is, you know, when you're working for someone, you've got a boss you've got to answer to, but you know, you don't have that person to answer to at all. So it can be, you know, you can fall into those traps of procrastinating and perfectionism. So you kind of just have to take a step back and really, you know, have that self-discipline to just go ahead and do the hard things.
Yes, 100%, 100%. And that's where we started, right? Like, it's all about that motivation, having that motivation to make more, to build a better agency, to build a better environment, et cetera, et cetera. But really, sky is the limit. You're right.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to talk with you a little bit about sales and what your process looks like for, you know, how you're bringing more leads into your agency and then closing those prospects.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd probably divide this answer into a couple of stages. Essentially where we started initially is, you know, having quite a bit of friends who already knew that I was in an agency, and that, you know, we're hitting that age when a lot of people were trying themselves running their first business. And so I did get some business from there being a consultant, but then over time I had to actually evolve it into a process. And this is what I did. So the second part of the answer here in terms of how we make sales right now is by simplifying and explaining things. So I know there's a lot of agents out there that are focused on that sort of nitty-gritty details, but then the truth is, like, once you start reviewing that presentation yourself, you're like, wow, like, I wouldn't be able to get all of, like, every little detail. And so now you end up with the presentation you spent like 60 hours preparing, but it's too detailed to the point where it's like impossible to understand, right?
Right.
And so we were trying to do with our presentations and our business pitches is we try and simplify them. We try to explain things for the clients. So for example, for myself, having myself a part of a couple of businesses, I know what business owners are looking for. And generally, they're looking for an impact in on their bottom line. And they may come to you saying, hey, can you do our SEO? Can you do our website? But the truth is, this is not the problem they're trying to solve. Sometimes they don't realize it themselves. But really, what they're trying to solve is they're trying to make impact on that bottom line. So when making sales, this is what we focus on. So we take this whole formula, whatever we try in our business, whatever we apply to our clients, and we simplify it for the prospects. We say, hey, here's what you're going to do. Here's how it's going to work. And we try not to go into, you know, not to make it 50 slide decks.
Interesting. So it sounds like you started off and you just had a network that you were able to sort of draw from. And then, so now do you bring in leads, you know, organically online? Are you referral based? Are you, you know, networking and getting out there to bring in more business? What does that look like?
Well, obviously the best leads you can get are always referral leads, right? Because those are the people that trust you 100%.
Yep.
But I'd say at the moment, those represent probably about 30% of the leads we get, because it's hard to get those consistent. And thanks God, we're an agency business where you get to retain clients for long term.
Yep.
But a large portion does come from Google. Large portion does come from content marketing, recording, basically giving value to people, recording those videos, writing articles. That's for sure. So to summarize the three, one, which represents about 40% of the overall lead stream, is getting referrals. Two is getting out there with, traditional things that you would think about, SEO, paid search, that probably represent another 30, 40%. And then the remaining 20 would go to content marketing. And sort of giving value to people long term.
Interesting. How do you nurture relationships with anyone in your pipeline that you want to be doing business with?
Yeah. So one thing that I've learned for myself is that you gotta be responsive. Like, even if you're doing a good job for someone, that's usually not enough. And you have to really be in touch. You have to know what their objectives are and what you can do to help them get there before they ask. And this is like, oftentimes this is our relationship is built into sort of a process. We make sure that every week or every 2 weeks we're in touch, just giving client updates on here's what's going on, here's what we think about it, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not hard to do. We're not, again, trying to put together 50 slide decks about it. We're just trying to give a simple update, which are easy to do for people who are in a day in and day out, right? Things are flat, things are going as planned, that's great. Things are not planned, what are we doing to solve it, right? And so this way, it keeps clients happy, because generally, and this is what I see with people overall, when you don't understand what is going on around you, you start getting worried, right? But then in case you simplify it for yourself and you say, okay, so, well, things may be not going that well, but I understand that next steps, here's what's going to happen. Like, well, this may happen or that, and here's what I can do in order to work around those possible issues, right? Or walk towards the wins that we can have. And so this is what we try and do for our clients, is simplify and outline things.
Awesome. Are there any other tips or techniques that you've sort of noticed along the way that have worked well for just maintaining happy clients?
Happy clients? Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, answering the phone, being out there for clients.
Yeah.
But look, like it's also a question of the boundaries, right? Like answering a phone doesn't mean that, you know, a client pays you for 10 hours and then you spend 7 of those on the phone, right? Like there has to be a healthy boundary set up where you explain like, hey, Mr. Client, yes, we do have a contract for those 10 or 20 or 50 hours and we'd rather spend it working on your case, right? And everybody at the end of the day, everyone is adults and we tend to work mostly with business owners. Mm-hmm. So they understand really well that like we want to be nice, we want to service the clients, but at the same time, we want to do the work and get them the revenue. So we can get our referrals and we can get our clients happy and keep them long-term. So it's really a win-win. It's about finding the healthy boundary with the clients.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. Just really managing those expectations with them. And then of course, having that communication factor, make sure you're over communicating, ensure they're crystal clear on the expectations and deliverables. I love that.
Yeah, and for many businesses, you know, the amount of money they're paying to agencies is a large sum of money, right? And so I understand them as well. They want to be on track and et cetera, et cetera. So over time, by the way, like once the businesses start seeing some level of results, they trust you more, right?
Yeah.
And so this is where they start calling you less. Like, I was just talking yesterday to a client. She's like, well, we haven't met for like a month and a half. It was basically just them being busy. And then she was on vacation and like all of that. But this is also a sort of a reflection of trust. Like, I know you guys are doing your thing. I know that we see consistent results. Like, I have a way to see it actually, mm-hmm. right? So I now trust you on your own. So for us, it's amazing because, you know, feeling that the client you're doing the work for, it's helping them, and feeling that they're trusting you, that it's very important.
Absolutely.
For the team.
How do you build trust quickly with a client who has been burned before by another agency or digital marketer?
I just answered that by giving them results soon.
Okay.
Oh, all yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't know if there was a way to just, you know, do it quickly, if you had a specific strategy in mind where you were, you know, able to just do it as quick as possible to just build that trust right away.
And look, to be honest, like for us, getting the results is truly the way we approach this. To the point where if we see that we won't be able to get the results, we just say it up front.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about being in that win-win scenario where the client can see your results, you can get the work done, you know that whatever you're doing and your offering kind of works for the client well. If you see that whatever your team is generally doing won't be beneficial for the client, then just better don't do it. Or, you know, kind of put a price tag on it up front and be like, hey guys, we think it's going to take us a year. It's going to cost X.
Yeah, makes sense.
So if no, then no. Yes, transparency, honesty, like all of that. Honestly, and we build this basically into a systematized approach where we, like, I know what 1 hour of one of our employees is worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
To us, we have to pay the salary, we have to pay the benefits on top, we have to buy a laptop. Well, thanks God, we don't have to rent an office anymore, but like all of that stuff. And we have to account for that. It's not a big problem for us to be transparent with the client, because we can go to them and be like, hey, you know what, like our margin is not 500%, right?
Yeah.
Like, so we understand like how much we're making, how much time it's going to take. And so it's very easy to show them the map. And the more transparent you are in the end of the day, the more clients feel comfortable working with you.
Okay. That's awesome. So I would love to learn what your biggest overall challenge has been as you've been growing your agency and how you've overcome that.
That's a good question. So I'd say the point that I made earlier about getting out there and getting things done, that's probably the biggest one that we had, but it's also kind of big learning for us, learning about yourself. So I guess that's probably a point number two is knowing yourself and knowing who are the right and the wrong clients for you. Because at the end of the day, like if every client you get, you're trying to reinvent the wheel, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be very hard for you. And it's not going to be a great result for the client, right? So you need to sort of systematize your approach more or less. You need to build some sort of processes around it and productize it. But to do that, you need to know yourself and you need to know who are the right clients for you. So you can create that win-win scenario, which we keep bringing up today, right? But that's the only way to grow, finding the right people and retaining the right people. And this is a learning curve of itself.
Interesting. So how do you prioritize your time as the CEO of the company?
Yeah. So what I like to do is I like to assign my time by days. So I have days when I'm working on Growth 360 specifically, just brand, nothing else.
Yeah.
I have evenings when I'm working on videos, if we're making videos. And I have days when I dedicate specifically to working with employees and that kind of stuff. So for example, Mondays, we generally look at the hours, start from the management perspective, like how much time we're spending on things, how things are going with clients, et cetera, et cetera. So that, then we have full 4 days to address whatever we need to address. And then whatever your priorities are, you just basically organize them that way. For myself, I organize them daily in this way.
Interesting. Do you do like time blocking at all, or it's just strictly by day?
No, so I try and keep it by day. It's not very flexible, but it allows you to focus.
Okay.
So for example, if you have any deliverables that you need to work on for the clients, that's what you do. If you have, if you need time to consult the clients, that's what you do. Right. You block a day, and this is how you have your calendar. But now I know that today I have a whole day of consulting. And so I can roughly prepare for every consultation that we have and have it as an outline and prepare myself mentally for that day so that I know that, well, today I'll need to wake up an hour earlier because I have to, like 9 a.m., I have to already be on the phone.
It can be hard to switch between tasks. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense to just batch it out in days. Cause yeah, it's, you know, when there's like for me, for example, if I'm doing like sales or podcasting, those types of things will work really well on one day. But then if I have other types of things to do where I have to be more focused, it doesn't work well to do after you get off a sales call. Cause you're all just like energized and yeah, you're not in the right frame of mind.
And this is a learning curve of itself. Like there's so many things you discover, like for our kind of work, which does involve quite a bit of analytics and you know, digging into the numbers for advertising, for SEO, for all of that, you have to really, really be focused. And if you're thinking about that call that you're gonna have 1 hour from now, well, it's not gonna work that way.
Yeah.
So you really need to sit down, have that day and focus on that stuff, right? And obviously you have to mix things up a little bit here and there, but generally I'd rather have 1 day when I'm talking to the clients and 1 day when I'm doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So where do you see Growth 360 in 5 years time?
Oh, that's a very good question. That's the one I've been asking myself quite a bit. So from our perspective, from my perspective, I want the agency to be, well, at the pace that we've seen growing previously, I want the agency to be at around 5 million by then, and hoping that the productized offers that I've been quite obsessed about lately that this is something that we can actually make happen and start building those reporting tools for ourselves and everything else. And so this way, we'll be able to get sort of on a next level as an agency, as opposed to trying and, you know, make all of those little pieces work together into one reporting software, right? You just build your own and you try and make it as automated as possible, right? Mm-hmm. Build for certain things. And this is what I was talking about in terms of having a certain offering and having a product built.
Awesome.
So 5 years from now sounds reasonable to get there.
Very exciting. Yeah, that's awesome. So getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but is there anything else that you would like to add to our listeners that you think would be beneficial?
Well, I guess summarizing what we were talking about today, it's really a couple of things. One is to simplify things. Number two is getting out there and actually trying the things, but not forgetting to do a little bit of homework before you do that. Mm-hmm. Number three is knowing yourself and trying to create that win-win scenario. To be honest, it shouldn't only apply to clients, it should apply to life in general, right? Because you got to have the right people in life. You have to be the right person for whoever you're working with, living with, being friends with, et cetera, et cetera. So those, I would say, the biggest kind of takeaway points from today's conversation.
Yeah, I love that. And then at the end of the day, just having that persistence, you know, it's kind of an emotional roller coaster at times being an entrepreneur. So you just kind of got to know that there's going to be bad days and you just kind of got to push through it and it's worth it at the end of the day.
Yeah, 100%. Without persistence, like all of that previous stuff doesn't work. You're right.
100%. Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to be moving on to the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I'd say philosophy in general made a lot of impact on myself, but if I was to mention the favorite school, it's the Stoicism. And there's a book, that Marcus Aurelius, he wasn't writing it as a book, he was just writing it down as a sort of diary and his kind of thinking out loud, mm-hmm. with himself. But I really liked the whole idea of, being focused on things that you can impact and thinking about things that you can control, right? As opposed to worrying about something that you have no control over, right?
Yeah.
So really like that. I would say for myself, it was probably a game changer.
Yeah, that's such wise words. It's true because, I feel like we all spend too much time worrying about unnecessary things that we don't have any control over. So I love that.
Yeah. And you can always start asking questions differently. Like this, that thing that I cannot control, but what can I do to have a little bit impact over it? Mm-hmm. If you think it's important, maybe that's the right way to ask that question.
Yeah, definitely. And then, so what does your morning routine look like?
I kind of try and have that structured as well, similar to the weeks and everything else. So I wake up in the morning, I always get myself a smoothie, I get myself a coffee, and then I try and get down to work as soon as I can. Because for myself, I find that those first 3, 4, 5, whatever you can make it that day, hours in the morning before lunch, those are the most productive. And so I always start by organizing things. I have multiple buckets, right? Like here's the personal stuff, here's the work stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the client stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I just write things out, thinking about how I can be more impactful. So, because at some point I just caught myself doing so much, but having so little impact, right? And so I asked myself like, okay, if I get this done, would it actually have impact? Right.
You mean like, moving the needle? Is that what you mean by impact?
Exactly. Yes. Because you can spend the whole day, building presentations, but are those the right presentations to build?
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe you should postpone this one until a few months from now, right? When you can get it done in a day, as opposed to spending a week building this presentation today.
Yeah, it's true. So, or is someone else from your team supposed to be doing the presentation too? You know, looking through that lens of what is your time worth?
100%. So maybe you should be spending a couple hours today training someone as opposed to creating a presentation. 100%, yep. Yes.
Definitely. So is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Well, no, not really. I try and, like, whenever I have free time, I try and read books at least follow some biographies. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed by Trevor Noah's biography and Joe Biden's. Those are a couple of really good ones. Like when Biden released his biography, that's how you know he was running for president.
Yeah.
So I was curious to him through it and see what their experiences have been. It kind of really helps put things for yourself in context. Because we're all, at least myself, you know, you live in that little bubble of the five friends you talk to and the 10 people that Facebook shows you posts from, and people you interact with at work, right? And so having a story of a different person and person who has achieved something in front of you, it's amazing. Like, there's always so much stuff you can learn from people like that. That's the kind of stuff that I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't say I made the mistake, but I subscribed to Grant Cardone's newsletter and now I get about 20 emails like before lunch to my inbox. But at the same time, like, he doesn't mess around with the whole 10x rule and he really does motivate you to step up your game. So it's true, you know, who you are a product of who you surround yourself with.
Yeah, who you surround yourself with and how you imagine things. And God, I just keep going back to the stuff that we already discussed, but I feel like this is so important to get to know yourself and to get to know your way.
Yeah.
But having that motivation in your inbox, that's a good starter.
You want that motivation, sign up for Grant Cardone's newsletter.
Thank you very much. I will.
And what is your favorite online tool?
Online tool. Well, I don't know if it's a favorite, but it's the one I use all the time. It's the SEM Rush. You know, it's just so useful. There's so much stuff. It kind of doesn't work as well in Canada as it does for the US. So for example, the local SEO aspect, but you can learn so much about a business. Like, you put a website in there and you know right away, you know, what that business is doing in terms of promotion. Like, are they doing podcasts? Are they advertising? Are they doing SEO? How old is their website? Et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's so much value you can get out of that tool. And you can get, you know, piece by piece, you can put together an image of a person you're talking to or a business you're talking to.
Amazing. So
that's a very useful tool.
Very cool. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That you need to do things, to try things, to actually, for myself, I spend so much time kind of in a theory stage as opposed to doing things stage. Mm-hmm. And I learned that, of course, you have to prepare a little bit, just a little bit, but until you get out there and you try things, you wouldn't know what is the right way for you. Mm-hmm. And so, in a time that it's going to take you to learn something, you can get out there and try 25 times, fail 25 times, and find that one way that is a win for you.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you can learn about all the 25 strategies, if you can, and then get out there and figure out that, well, I don't know where to start. Like, which one do I pick? It doesn't seem like it's going to work. But you have to, like, obviously it's helpful to learn, but I think the actual hands-on experience is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And changing the way you perceive fear, instead of being afraid of failing, just, you know, obviously don't try to fail, but take the lesson from it and, you know, move forward accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, well, I failed today. So what, like, what do you want me to do now? Just gonna learn my lesson and move on.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. So it's a great mindset. I heard they have a lot of that in Silicon Valley. I have no idea how exactly it works, but they summarize it as embracing kind of the trying and failing.
Okay.
I guess it's probably a part of why this so many successful companies from there.
Definitely. Got to push yourself outside that comfort zone.
100%.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Sasha. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure to be here.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.